Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Like, grief and getting over people is like a ping pong ball moving around in a circle. And on day one of it, the ping pong ball hits the wall all the time. But over time, the circle gets bigger and it hits the wall less times. And so I think time is a brilliant healer. And how's my analogy going, Alan? Had fine hours.
Kind of lost me with the circle and the wall.
Okay, I'm going to ditch it. It was shit.
Hello, everybody. I'm Alan Cumming, and this is
Blind Date.
No, you don't say your name.
Oh, and this is Chris Sweeney.
And we are, oh God, we're Homo sapiens. We're a fucking mess.
Look,
that was great. Smooth.
It's always been thus, and it always shall be. Alan, can I tell you what Homo sapiens extra is?
Oh, please, because I'm dying to know.
Homo sapiens extra is where you can win a Homo sapiens t-shirt, if you leave us a review on the Apple Podcast app.
But it's so much more than that, Christopher, isn't it?
Well, thank you for saying that, Alan. Actually, it is. This is where we read out your emails and your comments, and we read out your agony uncle questions, if you want to send us any of those.
Basically, we solve all your problems in a palatable way.
In a semi-palatable way. And please do send your emails to us and your agony uncle questions to hello@homosapienspodcast.com or get in touch.
And also, you can get in touch with us at Instagram, which is @homosapiens, or at Facebook, which I don't have and don't really approve of, but there we go, @homosapienspodcast.
Didn't say that when they paid for an episode, did you?
Oh, did they pay for one? Oh, well, I liked them then. I had a party last night with a little barbecue here.
Did you?
The first little six people, a little socially distanced barbecue. That's why I've got puffy eyes this morning. I was telling Matt right before we started that our producer that I realised I've been getting sort of slightly puffy eyes on the top. Mm-hmm. Twice I've had it done. And guess what they coincided with? Me being like mountain man making a fire in the fire pit.
Oh.
And standing in smoke for like hours on end, yeah, trying to get the fire going. Because I've got a new thing now. When we have a barbecue, I don't do it on the barbecue. I do it on the actual fire. I've got a little grid thing you put on top, and I make an actual fire. So it's like I'm like a cowboy, basically.
I love that. That means it's very Brokeback Mountain.
It's so Brokeback Mountain.
What was it, Ennis, and what was the other one called?
Ennis and, I don't know, Poker or something.
Poker.
I think that's what he did. I can't quit you. I can't quit you.
Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's how we would find out the name. Listeners, write in and remind us the name of the most famous gay film.
And also maybe we could have a little poll on the sex in that. I thought it was very unrealistic.
We're in the tent when...
In the tent. Like, plop. Like, oops, 1, 2, 3, have a little snog, and the next thing, oop, up it goes. Nobody, that doesn't happen.
He spat. I remember that.
That happens, but I mean, you know what I mean? I just felt it was like, and also it was sort of, I mean, you know, it's a film. It's everything's, let's say Grant Schaefer upstairs, him upstairs, he'll suddenly say things like, I just think in Killing Eve, it just seems like unrealistic. I mean, the whole thing's unrealistic. She's an assassin who falls in love with the blah, blah, you know?
Yeah.
So we have to let it go. It was a nice film.
But I know what you mean. I also think it's interesting how in, Brokeback Mountain, they were both gay, right? But they were hiding their feelings, but they were both in relationships. And I think now, if you were to make that film now, I'm not sure you would make it quite so binary. I think you'd say I don't know whether you would.
But one of them might have been out.
Or one of them might have been bisexual, and just because they were with a, I think back then, because they were with a woman, they had to be gay. You know what I mean? It had to be, the way you told those stories had to be binary, whereas actually I think people understand that more, it's a lot more gray. Fluid.
Yes, yes. And one, because one of them, the Jake Gyllenhaal's character, he was sort of more sort of out, wasn't he? He was kind of, well, I suppose he lived in a city and was a little more
cosmopolitan. He went to Mexico cosmopolitan. And had sex with rent boys.
Oh, did he? Oh, gosh. Mm. Well, you know, each to his own. Mm. Anyway, shall we move on to the messages from our listeners? Here's one from,
I think so.
Here's, I'm bored with that. Here's one from Grace, and her subject is about the thing we talked about last week, which is the CBBC lesbian kiss. Dear Alan and Chris, just listening to the latest podcast episode and have had to pause it to write this email after hearing your discussion of the first lesbian kiss on British that. Children's television. Can't agree more with all the points which you made, not least Chris's observation. Ooh, gold star for you. That to be it, you have to see it. See, there's a catchphrase. You got to have a gimmick. And yet, it's great, always great to have a rhyming catchphrase about that kind of political trope. It's very good.
Not me who said that, though, just to be clear.
I know this to be true because whilst this latest televised kiss might be the first in a children's drama, it is certainly not the first broadcast by CBBC.
Oh.
Oh, what? Oh, like, look, this is taking a turn. In the early 2000s, Connie Huck. Huck presented a Sunday night show on CBBC called the UK Top 40, which gave a rundown of that week's singles chart videos. My siblings, my friends and I were devotees of the show during an era in which tattoos, all the things she said, / Ya Sosha Soma, dominated the chart, which contained footage of two women kissing.
Yes.
I see. So this is where we're getting kind of like Grace is calling us on our lack of detail. I mean, I'm going to quibble with this, but let me finish. Seeing it, as well as my primary school friend's revulsion when we discussed it in the playground, was an important period in me understanding that there were women who like other women romantically. But in being like this, I was probably not like the rest of my peer group. I wonder how and to what extent the experiences and discussions of this latest kiss by children are different to those that we had nearly two decades ago. Thanks for all you do with the show. It's always a joy to listen. Thanks, Grace. That's very nice of you to write. That's such an interesting point. But also, I think, like, it's different in a pop video.
But she's not...
Like, she's not wrong, but I'm quibbling because, like, this latest kiss was actual content in a kids made-for-kids drama as opposed to a sort of...
I don't think she's quibbling, though. I think she's just adding to
quibbling.
The chat.
I'm quibbling with her. That's
so she's trying to say something nice and you're having a go at her.
No, I guess. No, I think it's a great idea. I mean, I think the point she's making... That, you know, however many years ago it was that happened, then I'm sure there'll be a different reaction to it. Hopefully there'll be a more easier and pleasanter and accepting reaction to it nowadays with kids in the schoolyard. Yes. What do you think?
And no one's mentioned the gangbang that was in the Teletubbies, which was all those years ago. I think it's great because I remember the tattoo video. And what I think
other
is...
Things you said, other things you said, yeah, other things you said, other things you said.
And they were dressed as school children, weren't they? And I just think it goes into the long lineage of like why women kissing and
is titillating
to men. And also why women in school uniform is titillating to men in mainstream media.
Terrible.
It's so fucked up.
Infantilizing and pedophiliac-y and it's horrible.
But thanks for that. Good remember, because I remember it rocked my school as well.
I had another blast of, talking of the pedophilia, I had another blast of the Trump Digital Army calling me a pedo this week.
Oh, really?
You know, that's the sort of the default thing that they say to queer men. Oh, there's little...
Can you hear the dog?
What's his name again? Yes. What's your doggy's name?
Ridley.
Ridley, that's right.
Unattach myself. Hi, Ridley. Yes, you didn't have attention for 13 seconds. Please come in. This is from Steve. Gents, long-time listener, first-time correspondent, etc. Thank you. Please always write in. Your recent episodes have been some of the finest. Stop it. A real treat, particularly hearing from some of the older members of our communities and how they view the current LGBT+ landscape through the lens of their own experience in less open times. I've just listened to this week's Jake Shears episode, and again, you keep on delivering. You really are the LGBT Women's Hour, only better.
Yes!
new presenters announced this week on Women's Hour.
Oh, that's right. She left, didn't she?
Jenny Murray. Tried.
What's her name?
People say she's... Oh, well, this is what he goes on to say. Which leads me on to my question. We've lost so many formerly admired celebrities to the recent wave of transphobia in the UK. Jenny Murray of Women's Hour fame, J.K. Rowling, Robert Webb, Graham Linehan. So what he's asking really is how does one stand up against people who are saying things that we don't agree with? Well, I think all you do is that someone else's stance doesn't affect your stance, and you just challenge it and question it. One thing I've noticed you do, Alan Cumming, is you, when you don't agree with someone, you say, it's interesting that you ...
Is that what I do?
Yeah. You go, it's interesting that you ...
because it's a load of shit.
Yeah, which is the sort of podcast equivalent of hearing an unsheathing of a sword.
Because I didn't realize I did that.
People saying these things, like, why are they saying them? If people are saying really unkind things, yes, it's unacceptable. But at the same time, it does take the time to try and educate as well. Because just cancelling people isn't helpful.
Totally. I know the cancel culture is really fascinating. I mean, in some ways sometimes you have to do it, but I think it's become too easy and it's also what it does is it just polarizes everything. Yeah. It makes everyone just be bitter and angry and fighting against each other, not listening.
Yeah, and I remember on one of the very first episodes of this podcast, like me and Will saying, you know, happy to be corrected. You know, like, because we're talking about a lot of stuff. Like, yeah, we're gay men, but that is a very small, privileged little existence we live in. And we're going to get a load of stuff wrong. But you've just got to be open to learning for next time.
Totally. Can I just say we passed over an email that seems to be has a lovely quote in it that I'd like to read out.
Did we? Sorry, did I miss an email?
Yes. Yeah, the one I'm going to read now. Oh. It's from Angus, which is the county that I grew up in Scotland. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And the subject is a great podcast, and it's been shaping my lockdown viewing. Mm. I have loved this podcast. This is from, doesn't say who. Oh, Angus, of course. I loved this podcast from the start, and the recent addition of Alan, who has also been a selling point for my non-LGBTQ+ school friend, Paul, for whom I quote, Alan Cumming is an absolute god.
I wonder why this email caught your eye, Alan.
I couldn't believe you passed it. Homo Sapiens has therefore inspired a rewatch of The High Life. Oh, that's that sitcom I did. Oh. Still funny all these years later. Thanks. The last episode is a bit mad though, isn't it? Yes. I'm sorry, I'm answering these questions as I'm having a lot of coffee. Future guest-wise, how about Alan Hollinghurst? Oh, that's a good idea. He has an interestingly ambivalent view of gay life that I find rather unsettling. Or Kate Bush, if you can get her. Oh my god. Thank you, Angus. Kate Bush would just... I don't know if I could do Kate Bush. I would be so overwhelmed with... I'm looking at Kate Bush right now. I turn to the right and she's there. The album of The Dreaming is sitting by my record player. Thanks for that, Angus.
Okay. And shall we have a look at an email from Nell? Chris and
Nell,
Alan.
Yes.
He says, what a lovely surprise. Hi, Chris and Alan. I was so thrilled to hear you read out my review and Agony Uncle question on last week's podcast. This was the agony uncle from Straight Woman about
the woman who was wondering if it's okay to ask her coworker if he was gay because she wanted to be a friend with him and not think that she was hitting on him.
Exactly. And right. She says, my teenage daughter was equally thrilled and a bit proud, I think. I had been discussing asking out the lovely Antonio for a mate date with her a few days before. She sent a short clip to her friends of the podcast, I think, who assured her, your mum will go far. High praise indeed from a group of 14-year-olds. Oh my God, listeners, breaking news. It says here, I just got off the phone to Antonio after a 25-minute chat and we're catching up next week. Thank you so much for boosting my cool points. All the best to you both now. Oh, isn't that lovely?
Presumably, does that mean Antonio is gay and they're having a mate date?
I think so, don't you?
I think it does mean, yes, you're reading between the lines. Oh, that's so nice.
We haven't had a Homo sapiens wedding. I'd really like one.
Oh, surely we must have. Just haven't been invited.
Listeners, is there any stories that you can tell us that in any way reflects a Homo sapiens wedding? Because me and Alan will come to the wedding. We will buy a new hat.
Oh, you know, I can do I can officiate.
Oh, so can I. Do it in Britain. We both can.
Oh, well, you could do the British ones. I'll do the American ones, the United States of America ones.
How are you officiated?
Oh, like that thing, the National Church of Weird Universal.
Oh, Universal Church of Life.
Yeah, that one. funny.
I must call you Vicar from now on. there's something there from Mike. Do you want to have a read of that?
Sorry, gulping my coffee there. Mike, let me see. Mike, hello, Mike. This is Mike. He contacted us via DM on Instagram, which we don't like so much because it gets a bit overwhelming. We'd rather you emailed, just FYI.
Yes.
I don't really have a question or problem. Well, what are you doing then? I just want to say that I love the podcast. I love you both and think you're amazing and bring comfort and information to so many. Ah, I do a little jig of excitement when a new episode pops up. Thank you to the Homo Sapiens team. Ah, thanks very much. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Mike. Thanks to Colm, who's here, our engineer person and editor. And thanks to Matt, who's our producer.
Yeah, it's nice he says thanks to the team as well, because it takes a village.
It takes a bloody village. It really does. Oh, my God.
Alan, I'm going to read you an agony uncle.
Bring it. I'm feeling very wise.
Are you? You're looking wise today. Hi, Alan.
Homo Sapiens sweatshirt. That's why.
That is it. Still available, everpress.com/homosapien.
Oh, God. Only size extra, extra large available.
We have every size available on the store, actually. Thank you, Alan.
Oh, we're good. Oh, great.
Hi, Alan and Chris. I'm currently going through a bad mental spell, sexuality-wise, and I just wanted to know if these feelings are normal in a young gay person's experience. In recent years, I feel like I've pushed away the chance of being in a happy relationship for the sake of the well-being of everyone, and I think the opposite has happened. I make excuses. I tell myself to put the career education first. I freeze up, ghosting, and get fussy while talking to guys I like. I still haven't come out to my entire family, mam and friends know, and a few guys who I really liked in the past have moved on and I am happy for them, but it all hurts more than I thought. I'm just wondering if all of this is because I wasn't brave enough or I am not accepting that me being gay is a real thing and that it will bring about a bit of a storm at home. Your podcast has been a savior of in terms of exposing me to the LGBTQ conversation I clearly needed, especially during lockdown where casual chats with mates over coffee and cake disappeared. Hope you're both well and loving life. A lot of questions.
Little darling.
Well, very sad to little,
I know. I'm sorry you're feeling like this, and I'm glad we can be of some succor, if that's the right word.
Don't call him that, Alan. He's having a hard time.
Sorry. you know, I think my initial knee-jerk amateur psychologist response is that it sounds like, obviously, it's completely normal to have spells of not feeling okay. And it's completely okay to not be okay. And so don't feel bad about that. We all do it, even wise old sages like Chris and I. And in terms of your sexuality, that's the thing. It changes and moves and, you know, and you have times you're feeling great about it, times not so much. So that's all. And I think it's more complicated when you're younger because you don't have anything to compare it with. The older you get, you see patterns. So don't give yourself a hard time. But I think the crux of the matter here for me is that you haven't come out to your family. And I think that must be such a burden to you. And I think that probably affects more of the other parts of your life than you maybe give it credit for. And so I would say, I would say the thing to focus on right now is to try and deal with that and to try and be as open and honest and authentic a person as you possibly can. And I think when you are that, all the other stuff kind of falls into place a bit more.
Yes. And I think what's amazing about your letter is that you clearly very self-aware. You know, you're very aware of what's going on with you and being able to articulate, I make excuses, I freeze up, ghosting and get fussy when I'm talking to guys, and that's causing you problems. I know so many people who still can't notice that themselves. And I think you're noticing that perhaps stuff is going on for you that you think might be related to the fact that you haven't come out or the fact that you're struggling with your sexuality. And I think that's amazing. And it's okay to struggle with your sexuality. It absolutely
completely
is. And I think that, you know, Alan saying, you know, make sure you come out and stuff. Yes, it's great to be out and proud, but also just make sure that you surround yourself with nice people who you're out to, because I think that people who make you feel good about your sexuality will help you grow, right? And then from there, it will all come. And don't beat yourself up too much about it, because it's
totally
really hard.
But that's presumably the reason why he's not come out, because he's not around people that he thinks are going to be. So that's absolutely. So good luck.
Good luck. And keep us posted.
Yes.
Okay.
Next, here's one from a gay woman. I'm 27, and before lockdown, my girlfriend suddenly broke it off after 2 years. I thought maybe the enforced time apart would help me get over her, but that hasn't happened at all. My friends say I should unfollow her on social media because it just winds me up. How do I get over her, Chris?
Well, you should definitely, you don't have to unfollow her on social media because that might make you look like you're cross, but I would just mute her on social media.
Oh, absolutely. That was the first thing I thought. Just take that stress out of your life.
Because it can be really addictive, can't it? And getting over people is really hard, and it takes everybody a different amount of time. And I have to not look at their social media and stuff.
I think that's the thing. You've got to like think it's hard. It's fucking hard. It hurts, and you're hurting, and you're in a situation where you can't go out and, you know, make yourself feel better like you would normally do because of this whole situation we find ourselves in.
Yes.
But so like, do yourself some favor. Don't look at the social media. Delete them or mute them or something.
And also, a piece of advice someone gave me that I thought found really useful when I broke up with people is, for just a little bit, let's say 2 weeks, do whatever you want. If you don't want to go out, don't go out. If you want to just watch telly, just watch telly. If you want to eat that stuff, just eat that stuff. Do whatever pleases you. Don't grind.
You've got to switch switch your behavioural patterns, and especially the behavioural patterns that you were in with them.
Yeah,
that's what's really important. And also, my old trick and my old piece of advice. I'm not quite sure how it works if you're not able to.
Well, marry someone else.
A bit. Just get married immediately to a really unsuitable person. No, don't get married to them. Just give them a house and then just walk away. What I was going to say was sort of the equivalent is sort of put someone between you and them. Have sex with someone else.
Right.
Have nice sex with someone that you like, or maybe someone you don't. You know, I mean, hopefully someone you like, but someone just. I think.
But you know what's hard about that is that I used to try and do that, and then I'd go out and I didn't get a shag, and you'd be like, "Oh, now I can't even." They don't love me, and now no one will have sex with me.
Oh well, you've got to sort that bit.
You know, 9 o'clock, you'd be like, "Yeah, gonna go out and get some." 2 a.m., you're like, "The lights are on in the club." Come on,
oh Chris,
I know. Listen,
Chris.
Oh, I kissed.
Oh, I don't actually, but I wish I'd known you and we were out together. I'm very good at coaching people who are looking for a shag when I'm out with them. Shag coach, totally. Like, go over now. Like, is that the person? Go over and say hello. Ask them about, you know, blah blah.
I was very good at that as well. I used to go up to people all the time. I would pretend it was like I was on a meet and greet. Like, hi, how are you? Like, just go up to everyone. Hey, how are you? You having a nice evening? Way. Like, should we have sex?
They sound like the host of the club or something then.
Yeah, because I was like, it's a, you know, if they're attractive, they might be, you know, why not go and say hi?
Because then they might think, oh, he's the host of the club. Can I have a drink ticket? Rather than he's a hottie, I want to shag him.
I was carrying a notepad and a pen at the time, which maybe that's why I didn't get a shag.
Can I take your photograph for a gay magazine?
QX. It was always QX magazine.
Yes.
Okay, so here's one last one. So this is from a trans woman in her 20s. Whenever I go home, my mum insists on dead naming me. It's not often for obvious reasons, but what do I do?
I mean, there's so much going on here. I mean, obviously, you have to say to your mum, just fucking stop this. You've got to lay down the boundaries. Mm-hmm. This is what I would do, and I don't know the full thing, but I find the whole dead naming thing so aggressive and horrible, especially from a parent. I would say, Mom, I'm not coming home anymore if you dead name me. You have to respect my life and who I am, my being. And I can't come home and be dead named by the person who is supposed to be one of the people in the world who supports me more than anything. That's what I would do. What would you do?
Yes. So for some of our listeners who, for example, are straight, dead naming is when people, a person who has transitioned has a name that they were given when they were born that they feel is not correct because it's for an incorrect gender for them. So that's the dead name, right?
Right. So if someone was called John and then they transitioned and became Fiona, mm-hmm. it's like their mum calling them John when they go home, and they're a girl now, and this is the opposite thing to this story, but I mean, it's so shocking to me. And it's done, people do it really, it's always done as a huge, huge weapon. And it's a horrible, horrible thing to do. And it just shows absolute lack of empathy in all ways, I think.
I think, yeah, you're going through...
Tariffs do it.
You're going through something massive. And at those periods of your life, you need support from people who love you. And you do not have to see your family. Yes, you're related to them, but you do not have to spend time with them if they do something upsetting. And I've heard about this, you know, I've had discussions with trans people who this has happened to. And it's not, this is in no way to excuse the behavior, but what Justin Vivian Bond was saying was like, you know, V said, because Justin Vivian Bond's pronoun is V. It reminded me, V said, when did you want to stop learning? You know, and that's what this parent is doing. Yeah. They're not learning. Learn, you know. When I seem to have ringside seats to this stupid discussion a lot, of people going, it's like when someone, I always use the analogy of like, if a friend of yours is coming for lunch, but they're bringing someone and they haven't told you, they just haven't told you anything other than they're bringing someone. And so therefore you don't know whether they're male or female, but so you'll be like, oh, would they want... Will they eat vegetables or will they be vegetarian? You don't even think about it. You have no problem with it. You don't get some existential crisis as a result around that.
No, no.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Do you know what was funny this week? There was a thing in the New York Times about cabaret and how it's sort of, you know, what's happening in the cabaret world because nobody can perform and everything. And there was various people, and they talked about the club coming, the variety show we're trying to do, and various people are doing these virtual things. Justin Vivian Bond was mentioned in it too, and also Murray Hill, one of our upcoming guests.
Yes.
And but it said, it was so hilarious because Murray put it on his Instagram. It's about blah, 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 Murray Hill, who on its Insta called it, okay, he said, my pronoun is not it. And it was just a weird sort of misprint in the paper, but Murray was absolutely hilarious about it. But I think a pronoun, actually someone said, this other hilarious comedian called Cola Scola wrote in the comments, it is actually, it used to be my preferred pronoun.
That's so funny.
Now for some news, ladies and gentlemen, some LGBTQ plus news. Now, I don't know if you all know this, but so the former Australian Prime Minister, Tony Abbott, has been appointed as a UK trade envoy by the UK government. And the UK Health Secretary, Matt Hancock, has defended this appointment after a ton of criticism, because, you know, Tony Abbott has not been a friend of the gays, first of all. He said in the past some really homophobic, misogynist things. Like during the you know, in Australia, they had the marriage equality thing happened in the last recently. He said he felt threatened by homosexuality, that marriage equality would lead to the erosion of family.
Yeah.
And he also thought that women having too much power was a bad thing. And so anyway, this health minister in Britain is defending. I mean, also, I just don't get it, Chris. I mean, I don't understand why they've chosen Tony Abbott to be a trade envoy.
Well,
this former Australian president. What's the benefit of that? Like, coming in to do all the Brexit stuff?
Because because he's a good expert at like trade relations for that part of the world who we want to be building relationships with. But
oh, so he's a trade envoy with like Australia and Southeast Asia?
Yeah. But the thing is, like, what annoys me, one, that Tony Abbott is appointed, that's fine. And then two, the thing is, Kay Burley took Matt Hancock to task, saying, you know, this man has said all these homophobic and misogynist things. What do you think? And Matt Hancock, standing there on Sky News, says he's also an expert on trade. And I think what is so mind-blowing about that is that it's still acceptable to completely gloss over things that contravene basic human rights.
If it's about the economy and money.
And also just that I feel that you're seeing the tot up in Matt Hancock's head of like, well, how many people will this piss off really? You know? So it's not coming...
And probably not many people who he's going to be actually dealing with.
Exactly. And not not enough of the electorate that this would be an issue. And that just makes
it's
my
just
blood
about, It's just a sort of just speaks of like the kind of decency and compassion of that government, of that British government. I mean, I think it's hilarious as well that the health secretary has been trundled out to deal with this. Where's the trade secretary?
Oh,
you know what I mean? What the hell's going on there? Poor old health secretary is having to deal with all this shit. But it just shows that, you know, both Britain and the Americas of the United States of, there's just this, you know, like we've been seeing this week with Donald Trump saying all these things about the troops and everything. There's just this lack of compassion, and it's like anything, kindness or decency are seen as weaknesses. And that's something we've got to be really vigilant about, I think, people. Because that's going to bring down our whole, I mean, it is bringing down our whole society, because if we don't have kindness and compassion and are looking after each other, we're doomed.
So
Captain Manring, we're all doomed.
We send Matt Hancock love, understanding and compassion, but he can also fuck off.
Now some happier news, Chris. Over to you at the Strictly Come Dancing news desk.
Strictly Come Dancing has got its first same-sex couple. Well, UK Strictly Come Dancing, I would say. Nicola Adams, the ex-boxer, is to have a same-sex dance partner, which is very exciting. So it's the first time in the show's 16-year history.
That's amazing, actually. I always think of Britain being much more ahead of all these things.
I know, it's funny, isn't it?
Yeah. I was asked to go on Strictly Come Dancing. I've been asked to go on both of them.
In America and UK?
In America, it's called Dancing with the Stars. I like Strictly Come Dancing better.
Alan, how should the BBC deal with this without over-sensationalising it, do you think?
Do nothing. Just deal with it like they would deal with every other couple. That's the whole point. Don't make a thing of it. I mean, if anything, say, sorry it's taken us so long to do this.
Yes.
In 16 years of a show and there's one same-sex couple, it's hardly, reflective of the population of same-sex couples and LGBTQ people in society. Yeah. I think just like, you know, if anything, say sorry it's taken us so long.
Yeah.
But it's great.
We're going to do a shout out here. So Freddie Lanker is a lovely pottery and ceramic artist who is sort of a bit of a friend of the show, I would say. He's listened from the very beginning and he has set up a thing called the Queer Youth Art Collective. And he wanted us to do a shout out for his excellent project, which is the Queer Youth Art Collective runs a mix of artist-led workshops and social spaces for 18 to 26-year-olds with an interest in the arts. And this online space is accessible to LGBT people from all over the UK. And basically, they're looking for donations. So they've got a new season... they've got a new term starting and they need to be able to fund these lessons for people who want to do the classes. So if you want to find out more info, if you want to take part, or if you can donate, go to Queer Youth Art Collective on Instagram and you can
That's
find
nice.
The GoFundMe.
Can I also just shout out, there's a place in Edinburgh called Greenwood. It's a queer, safe, sober safe space cafe that's just opened. These lovely boys in Edinburgh have started it. And I'm just looking at the Facebook page now. It's a hilarious thing to say. We sell lots of delicious stuff, but there's these things you can buy for nothing, like respecting trans women juice, zero. Respecting trans men juice, zero. No money at all. Respecting non-binary people juice. It's so easy, zero. It doesn't cost you anything. I think that's so lovely. It just opened last week. And
that's great.
Also, there's a lovely boy called Tom Hutton has done this zine about with all these beautiful photographs she's taken, and they're selling it there, and they're selling other sort of arty things there. Just really lovely. And I think especially in this time, it's so heartening to see young queer people coming together and starting a little business and, you know, making the world a better place. So I think they're really lovely. And it's called Greenwood, and it's in Edinburgh, and it's got delicious vegan-y things as well. So obviously that's all good in my book.
That's
too.
That's a win. Listeners, please send us in any other exciting little queer projects you'd like us to talk about. Alan.
Yes.
Have you got a wormhole?
Oh, have I got a wormhole? It's so crazy. Hang on, I've got to look at my thing.
I've got to look at mine.
Oh, yes. So, mine's a bit sort of, what do you call it? Free association. Is that what you call it?
Yes.
This week, because I was trying to think of the connections that took me to the different places, and I just cannot for the life of me remember. But so I'm going to Vancouver, right, next week to shoot this thing. So I should be talking to you from the on Pacific time as of next week. And what was crazy was like I was sort of trying to find out about things in Vancouver and seeing what the COVID situation was, and they sent me some houses to look at, you know, and to stay in and all these things. So I was doing that. And then for some reason, because this is the weird thing. I was thinking and talking about space heaters, you know, for outside. So we're thinking like, what will we do when it gets colder and we want to see people, but we don't want to have them in our house and spreading germs. So we're thinking, oh, we'll get these space heaters. Well, I was just talking about that. The next thing they appeared on my, in the ads where when I'm searching and looking in Vancouver. I mean, hello. I mean, duh. But anyway, and that takes me to my next point, because I was looking at space heaters, and then I got onto this. I started to wonder when I was writing, and I thought, I wonder when the word duh was invented, right? Because I was thinking about this little lady I'd met in Australia who was very sort of sardonic and said to me this thing about when I wanted to get my lenses put in my glasses. And she was like, yes, yes. And then I said, but I've got to go. I'm only here until Friday. Can you do it? And she went, shouldn't be a drama. And I said when I was writing that, which is my favourite Australian saying, and right up there with my favourite sayings in the whole world, which are silver medal from Texas. If wishes were fishes, we'd all take a swim. I love. And then I think my favorite one, my Scottish one, is you eat a ton of shite before you die. I just love that. Anyway, my point is that I was looking to see, because I thought if her eyebrows could talk, they would have said the word duh to me. But then I thought, when did duh get invented? And apparently it was first used or first seen in the 1800s, but then it was actually first kind of used in common parlance in the 60s. And I didn't realize that. I thought it was much more of a recent thing.
It feels very like 90s clueless, duh. Share, love, yeah. Share and
I know. And then I went from that to, I just think there should be a TV show, and I'm obviously going to try and make this happen, a TV show of two truths and a lie, where celebrities come on and they tell you two things about themselves and one thing's a lie and everyone has to guess. And I went and saw that, and I saw that Dr. Phil had done that on the Jimmy Fallon show. Dr. Phil had played two truths and a lie. And what I think is so stupid about when people play truth and a lie, and there's the lie, and everyone, and you don't go back and say, excuse me, what, you have a piece of cow in your shoulder, which is one of the things that Dr. Phil did. He has a piece of a cow in his shoulder. And and they just went, yes, I have a piece of cow in my shoulder, but I didn't have a bubble bath in Oprah's house.
No,
and then we move on. I'm like, I want to know about the cow in Dr. Phil's shoulder.
Yeah.
So that was really my wormhole of the week.
It was quite the odyssey.
What about you?
So mine started on Ricky Gervais and it ended on buying used pants on eBay.
Underpants?
Yeah.
Used? Why do you want to buy used underpants?
Well, I'm going to tell you. So,
oh my God, I can't wait.
So,
sure, Ricky Gervais will be thrilled with this.
Yeah. So Ricky Gervais I find him on Twitter he's just deliberately contentious, and I find that annoying. But anyway, he tweets.
Well, do you know what you should do? Is you should not follow him. As following the advice we've given to our
I know, and you're right. And do you know what? It's sort of like I have that with Twitter, where it's like I follow people sort of because I find them annoying. Because I want to see what I think with Ricky Gervais, like he's so laser precision at trying to capture the zeitgeist all the time. And that's why he says things that are deliberately upsetting. Anyway, so he tweeted a link to a clip from Afterlife, his TV show, which I clicked.
Oh, I loved that.
Yeah, and I clicked on it because I was like, oh, yeah, I remember that show. And in the clip was a guy who I went to school with called Tom Basden, who was a comedian.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, my God.
What did he play?
He played this guy sitting behind a desk. They were just having a conversation. I think they worked together. And blonde guy, my age, you know, incredibly young. And and Tom Basden, who I went to school with, who became a comedian, and then obviously he's doing this thing now. I was like, ah, his dad was the loveliest man in the world, and he was my biology teacher called Mr. Basden. And right. So I was like, I wonder what happened to Mr. Basden. So I Googled, and then Mr. Basden, and then I ended up on a newsletter from my old school saying when he retired. So then I was in the old school newsletter. So I started scrolling around, and then I was remembering, it's like all this chat about the sports teams and stuff. And I was just remembering how that used to make me feel sick. And then I was like, oh, I need to buy some exercise clothes because I don't have many. So then oh, I went, oh, I'll go. Look, I'm actually talking to you in exercise clothes, as I taught you. But I hate the way clothes are always like polyester. You know what I mean? So it's like, I want to get some. And so sometimes I buy like old cotton, like shorts and stuff. So I went on to eBay to get some old cotton shorts. Well, when I started looking around, I was noticing that the images were like a little bit frisky in some of them. Like it was a bit like...
It was back to your days when you used to look at the magazines that your dad took the pictures of.
Exactly. But this just had a different feel. You know, when if you're gay, you slightly get it when someone's trying to signal that their stuff is a bit gay. You know what I mean? It just felt a bit gay. I was like,
This
isn't like a mum selling some old cotton sports shorts. This is like someone. Anyway, so I clicked on this thing and it was like used sports pants. And then I clicked on the seller and there was this person who sells like used underwear, and it tells you like how many times it's been used and stuff like that.
Oh, and then is that the thing when people, do they still do that where you kind of sort of come in the pants and send it to you?
Yeah. Well, that's how we met.
Oh my God. This is taking a turn.
This is taking a real turn. But anyway, so there's this person on eBay just happily selling, but it was like, wasn't like ultra sexy, as in like no one had like come in it. It was just like, this has been worn three times by a guy. Like, but that was the selling point. So that was my wormhole.
I see. It's, you know, it's interesting right now. I was just talking to someone last night about this, but lots of people in reference to the sending people your soiled pants, a lot of people are doing OnlyFans instead of boom. Yes. And a lot of people are turning to doing OnlyFans because they need the money in there. And, you know, it's a sort of a culture where we're staying at home watching things. And I know some people who are doing that. And I think it's a fascinating time. And also just think, like someone I know here, I was finding out about the logistics of doing that, just about, you know, that they've got to...
This is an unjudgmental space, Alan. You can tell us if you want to launch.
It's totally unjudgmental. No, it's more about like the technical aspects of it. like when they had to go to somebody else's flat to do it because their roommate was... And just like the filming of it and... You know, I don't know. I was just sort of intrigued by it all. And did they wear masks? You know, all stuff like that.
Yes.
Is
there social distancing? Is that why you're going to Vancouver?
Actually, I could do great OnlyFans thing up here because it's just in the woods. It could be really, I could have a sort of, could get wood fetishists as well as Alan Cumming fetishists.
I know, because if ever you see porn where it's like outdoors in public spaces, I'm always like, I bet someone's going to walk through. How can they not be worried about that?
I know. That was like when I shot that thing for the National Theatre of Scotland, Out of the Woods. I shot that in the woods here. And luckily there's nobody. We never
Which
see
wasn't
anybody.
Porn, for clarity.
It was not porn. But I was just, you know, going around with a knife screaming into my phone in the woods. If anyone had come by, it'd be worse than seeing me having sex, I think. Me with a knife is much more scary than me having sex, hopefully.
Anecdote roulette.
Woo!
Okay. I am going to... Bum ba dum bum bum ba dum bum ba da ba da ba dum boom. Joanna Lumley.
Well... Yes, I sort of do have a Joanna Lumley story. I mean, like, I love Joanna Lumley. She's so, I mean, obviously, who doesn't? She's just the most fantastic person. She made a pair of shoes out of our bra. Like, let's start with that. But for those of you who don't know, it was a TV show, a documentary, when she went to a desert island made a pair of, so her feet didn't get hot in the sand, she made a pair of shoes out of her bra.
That show was so good. I'm going to watch that
again. Me too. And she's made millions of documentaries, and she's just always so lovely and you know, like Mrs. like the poshest, most darling, amazing sort of, and she's got all these connections to India, so she's always got insights to all these things when she does these travel documentaries. She's just great. Anyway, I you know, I've met her a few times over the years, and I remember the last time I saw her, she was doing this play La Bête on Broadway a few years ago, which is a play which I did, first of all, in 1992. It's written by David Herson. It was done, I did it in its British premiere, and then Mark Rylance played my part, and then the Prince was now a princess and played by Joanna Lumley, and they did it in London, then took it to Broadway. Anyway, I went to see it, and then I saw Joanna afterwards, and I was saying, "Oh, you're having a nice time in New York and everything." And she said, "Yes, and you know the most magical thing. I'm having such a magical, and you know the most magical thing of all." And I said, "What?" And she pulled out her Metro card from her wallet. She just loved going on the subway in New York. I just thought, "Oh, you're even more amazing than I thought you were before."
That's so
She'd be a great guest.
She would be a great guest.
Why don't we get Joanna Lumley?
Definitely a gay icon. Let's do it.
Let's put it on the list.
Ow! Oh, I just hit my elbow. Okay. Joanna Lumley's going on the list.
Okay, now, nearly is the end, but before we go, we've got to do Review of the Week. So Review of the Week is when you write on the Apple Podcast thing and you judge us mercilessly. And this is how you can win a Homo Sapiens t-shirt, because we choose our favourite Review of the Week. It doesn't need to be a good review. Obviously helps, but sometimes we give reviews to the bad people because we want to smother you with love.
We do. So, we've got an extra special review of the week this week.
Have we?
Because we're going to save up the current ones on Apple Podcasts for next week, because Kelly wrote in, who was a t-shirt winner, Mad Knitter 74.
Oh, I remember her. Yeah.
So she says, "Hello, I'm not." So she wrote us an email this week. It said, "Hello, I'm not sure if you remember me. I'm Kelly Madnitter 74. You gave me a t-shirt from my review near the beginning of the season. Here's a picture of me wearing my fabulous t-shirt, which I love. These are my kids. I mentioned them in my other email. Quinn is 17, Lola's 15, Dylan 13. All three have tried to pinch my t-shirt since it arrived." We went to the lavender.
Oh, look at them in a field of lavender. They're in.
Yeah,
that looks lovely.
We went. So she sent us a photo of them all together with mum wearing the t-shirt, other three normal clothes. "I have been working on a little prezi for you both, as I had three babies born lately, but I've been a bit delayed with getting them knit up. What would be a good address to send them to?" So she has posted us a parcel, Alan, and I will forward yours on to you.
Gosh, another knitted present, because I've got my Uta's, my bum bag. Actually, you know, the exciting thing is next week when I'm actually leaving this cocoon in the Catskills and going out into the real world and start working again, I will be taking my bum bag made by Uta in Germany, not the one I did not receive from Hannah Gadsby. And I was actually thinking about taking my Uta tea cozy with me, because I don't know if they'll have tea cozies.
Oh, a little bit of home. That'll be nice.
Yeah.
So Kelly finished.
Wow, this is exciting.
So we're going to post it. I'm going to show everyone this picture of Kelly with her kids, but also Alan.
Quinn, Lola and Dylan.
I think we should give them all a t-shirt, don't you?
Yes. And hopefully they're all mediums. Is that what we've got left?
Large.
Largest.
Got to
hope.
Well,
they'll grow into them. They'll grow into them.
Yeah.
That's nice. Oh, I'm so excited. We've got another knitting present coming.
So we're going to give them three t-shirts this week. That's very exciting.
So you know, you can win a t-shirt if you leave a review on the podcast app, and also you can email us your comments, your questions, your agony uncles, just anything, just shoot the breeze, and that is at hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
Correct. Or you can get in touch with us on Instagram at homosapiens. And Alan, do you know who our guest is next week?
Yeah, because I can see it in my computer right now. I was just talking about him earlier. How about that for a segue? It's the amazing Murray Hill, comedian and just all-round great guy.
Drag king.
Drag king. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Drag king.
Murray is a complete icon, because we hear so much about drag queens and, you know, thanks to drag race.
Can I just interrupt? I've just seen my husband walk by with a trowel of dog poop. As you say this, he just walks in front of me.
Speaking of iconic.
Yes. This is my life. We have trowels in different behind different trees around the property to pick up the dog poop.
I love that. I love a system. But yeah, Murray is an icon, and we all know about drag queens, but drag kings are far less wider known.
I think it's really interesting to me, the whole drag. Like, well, let's not spoil it, because he talks about it a lot, and just about his journey to being able to perform like that, and, you know, be a full-time performer as Murray Hill. And he's performed with some amazing people, and he does his own shows, and he's just great.
It's a fascinating story.
Yeah, a really fun interview. So that's next. That's coming out on a week on Thursday.
Correct.
We'll be back. My eye's getting more puffy and weird, I just want to say.
Oh, that's the bonfire, right?
It's the bonfire. Luckily, I've got 2 weeks in quarantine before I have to look cute on TV.
Okay, thanks everybody for listening.
Yes, this has been fun, and hope you have a lovely week, and we will see you with Murray Hill next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Powered by Spirit Studios.